thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Ray. We waiting on Will T. What's going on, Ray?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. I was asking you how was your weekend, but I did see you on Sunday. We was hooping on Sunday, you know, getting that good old cardio in.
The cardio was great. The experience wasn't what I was expecting. I told you I came late purposely. I was looking for one game after lifting weights. You know how when you shoot after lifting weights, it's hard to shoot. But surprisingly, I ended up playing five games, actually. I have never had a losing record like that just in pickup basketball, I don't think. But again, we're at an age where it's all about making sure we're staying in shape, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. The losing was a lot. You know, I think it was like six games at a time. For me, it was like six games at a time. I think I lost every game but one. And we played 4-on-4.
Yeah, you guys were playing four. You lost before I got there.
Yeah,
so that's what it was.
Yeah, I know.
And we played five. I mean, according to the guys we were playing against, they counted eight games. So
yeah, that's about right.
That's tough. You went 1-7.
1-7 was, it was bad. It was bad.
I mean, so why was your J off, though?
Why was my J off? Well, I got tired as it went on. But I've been rusty. And I've been fighting my jump shot. You know what I mean? I've been fighting. So it's always been a struggle. I played the day and I didn't make a single. I didn't make a shot, but my shot felt good. So just, you know, basketball is all about how your J feels, if you're in a rhythm or not. And I just haven't, like, of late, my rhythm has been kind of off, though. But I expect to be better, though.
It's amazing how we watch these guys on TV, NBA, NBDL, G League.
G League.
And we criticize them.
Exactly.
And we don't know exactly why they might be struggling. The guys like Steph and Durant, you're like, why are they struggling with their J's? But they play a lot of games. They play a lot of minutes and they travel. Yeah. I can't imagine just us driving to Greenbelt from here. People who are listening in the outside area are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but seriously, it's not
far, but you factor in work, stress. They do interviews. They wake up early for promotions. They have a challenging schedule, but the fact that they make a lot of money, that's why we think, okay, you can get a trainer.
Yeah.
You guys might cook for you. Shut up. Yeah. But no, I mean, they're human beings.
They get ice baths.
I respect it. Like I said, I can't imagine a guy in the league who is not planning to play.
Mm-hmm.
He never plays. And all of a sudden, he's got to step in and play big minutes. And then he gets roasted when he struggles.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't expecting it. That's where I was Sunday.
And
I know I'm trying to compare myself. I'm just putting it out there.
Because I
feel bad when I talk about people.
No, because I feel bad now. I'm not going live. Because usually you're like, man, like, you should be off. You got a wide open jump shot. You should make that jump shot. But you have issue. Like, for me, I had an issue making a set jump shot. And I was like, what's going on? And then my excuse is fatigue. But then you look at the NBA game and then back-to-back nights.
It's crazy.
You know, you criticize the same player who played back-to-back. And you don't say, well, he played two games in a row. You don't think about that. You're thinking like, all right, well, you got rest. You got an ice bath. You're fine. You got trainers to take care of you.
Well, the only difference is they play every day. So you're expected to be prepared.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can respect what they go through. Last thing I'm going to ask you before we transition.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Is there an excuse for J.R. Smith? We're not knowing the situation, calling a timeout. Can we make an excuse for him based on the
No, we cannot.
Oh, okay.
I know. Well, you know what? There are guys that I've played with that can say that they can make an excuse for J.R. Smith. Like the tall dude you referred to.
Yeah, I threw him a lob pass. I thought he was going to jump up and grab. He's like, I can't jump. I'm like, what? You 6'4". See, I hate a waste of height. I can't stand it. I really can't.
You know what I mean? But well, T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition.
The
pregame.
All-Star game is here.
Yeah, you know it. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper, and the Baltimore Orioles, Manny Machado's partaking in the MLB All-Star game and their first half of the season. At 8:20, we'll discuss NBA Summer League. At 8:30, we'll discuss some of the Madden 19 ratings for the Washington Redskins players. At 8:40, we'll talk about Manny Pacquiao, TKO, and Lucas Matisse for the WBA welterweight title. At 8:50, we'll have CeCe Towns from GladiateHers.com. She will join the show to talk about Serena Williams losing Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And also other things. You know what I mean? I want to have her on. I wanted to have her on the show because we didn't have her on.
We haven't had CeCe on in probably a year or so.
I know, right? She's doing big things, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get right to all. I want to say almost for MLB All-Star, it's not All-Star weekend, right? Like you count the home run derby. It's not like All-Star weekend. We call it like All-Star festivities, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, Bryce Harper put on a show.
Bryce Harper put on a show for the home fans, mm-hmm. which was something that I think this franchise needed, as they have struggled as of late heading into the All-Star break. Only a couple games above 500, fighting for a wild card spot. Not a great baseball town as it is. But to bring the All-Star game here in general, and then to have Bryce put on a show like that, was just it was right on time.
Yes,
it was needed.
Yeah, especially because, you know, he's gotten some bad press here because people think he's gonna leave. He wore the Las Vegas jersey at the
oh yeah, that's
Stanley
why he's
Cup
cursed.
Finals.
That's why he's cursed. I said that a long time ago.
You know,
we had Frankovic on the show. I said he's cursed.
You know, he's got bad press for it. And I think that, you know, Bryce Harper showed you how bad he wanted it for the city to win, you know, the home run derby.
Yeah, I think he got caught up in the moment, to be honest. But when you speak of him wearing a different jersey, to me that falls in line of guys like LeBron James. LeBron has wore Yankees hats.
Yeah.
And he's professed his love for other cities when it comes to sports. So I don't think that's a big deal. But fans took it personal because they want him to stay. But overall, it was good for him too, because we were questioning whether DC needs Bryce Harper at this point.
Yeah.
With Juan Soto on the come up, with the Capitals just winning a championship, people are not as worried about a championship now coming to DC. So
we have
plenty of stars.
I will say that the home run derby, him winning it and the way he did it, because to me, it was one of the best home run derbies I've ever seen. No, I'm going to me, it was one of the best I've ever seen. And but no, I'm being real. I'm being real. But he showed you his electricity. Like in that situation, in that showing, in that show he put on.
I mean, we know the skill set he brings to the table is just
look at short.
Has he shown the ability to overcome midseason slumps? I don't think he has. He has not fully recovered.
He hasn't been a slump like this, though.
No, I'm just saying he's had slumps in the past, and it's like his numbers never. He always starts off the season hot, and then it's like his numbers start to taper off. And they decline throughout the course of the year. He may stay the course at somewhere, but shouldn't he be hitting over 300?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Where he did that part.
I know you did. But that's my part.
He mocked you. He always mocked you. Let's get not. He always do like
some
type
of. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. I actually say it like my old roommate. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, man.
My old college roommate. But no, okay. Bryce Harper, though.
Exciting. It was electric, man. It brought a. For a moment, it made everyone forget about the slump that he started the season off and his impending free agency and or departure from DC.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of excitement everyone, when Bryce Harper, when he came to DC and the hype surrounded him, those are the type of moments that you thought that he would have, but you thought he would have him in the regular season, and you hoped and you wished that he would have had him in the playoffs. But for that moment, that night, yesterday, last evening, that was special.
I'm glad he participated.
Yeah.
Because it's like LeBron never does a dunk contest. I think he's scared he's going to lose or going to taint him or something. But no, I'm talking about LeBron. But yeah. Bryce, who has been resistant to the home run derby in the past, you know, he did it for the home fans.
But a lot of baseball players, they don't like doing a home run contest because it ruins their swing. So they feel like
contest?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't. It from that
it's
point
like batting practice, bruh.
No, because they're over. It's not a natural swing. It's not natural.
Yeah,
like they're trying to hit home runs. It's different, so they don't want to. They don't want to go into that pattern of trying to hit a home run. They want to actually just play the game.
Yep, you know, just take what the pitcher gives.
Exactly. So
see how the defense is shifting.
Exactly.
See how the defense is playing them.
And that's a situation Bryce is going to have to figure out in the regular season because of the crazy shifts. You know, trying to go the other way more times than not. But I think for confidence going into the season, I mean going to the second part of the season, this was good for him.
I don't think it matters.
You don't think so?
No. I think it energized the team and the fan base, but for him and his swing, I think mentally he still got to overcome that.
I agree with you, Ray.
I think he's a player based on emotion. I think it's good for him. Like, cause he's very emotional,
right? But if you notice, he's been – well, I guess from that standpoint, maybe he'll be a bit brighter. He'll feel a bit better about himself, but I don't know. I think it's going to take more than just winning a home run derby where your father's pitching some underhand pitches to you.
And his father wasn't doing him justice initially.
Damn, y'all harsh critics, man.
What? I didn't say anything.
I said initially. I mean, I was watching that thing, and he was throwing the ball like he was about to hit Bryce a couple of times, and it's like, dang, dude.
Maybe he needs aiming for a spot that he knew a designated spot where Bryce asked him to pitch. Look, the
luckily
ball
Bryce
to
got hot and he saved him.
I need the Legion of Doom paint to come back.
The what?
The Legion of Doom, the Sting paint to come back.
The face paint.
Oh, he used to rock. Well, he used to rock back in the day.
Yeah, stop eating them cookies, man. Cause you're getting slow. You watch wrestling grow up, man. How did you know what I was talking about? The way you was looking at me like the what? And you was just staring at me with like this glaze in your eyes, man. Come on, dude.
I didn't have any of those today, man.
Subway cookies is all you should be eating, brother. My goodness.
Eat fresh.
I'm gonna leave that one alone.
You know Will T is he's like a Marvel character.
No, he's Thor, man. He's Thor. Black Thor.
That's
Black
what I'm saying. Black that, Thor. Exactly. Black That's my point. So he's not gonna eat Papa John's no more. You already know it.
Hey, y'all terrible.
Papa John's is good, daggone it. He ain't the one making the pizzas no more.
Nah, he ain't cool no
Did
more.
Did y'all
man.
Talk about that?
No, we talk about that. About
Do you want to?
Not really.
Okay.
What about Papa John's and
Pizza Hut is horrible.
Using the N word.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what you talk about. Nah, because I
wasn't
I'm not
offended.
Surprised.
I wasn't offended.
Oh. That's not what we was expecting.
No,
right?
That's not what I was expecting.
No, I know that's not what you were expecting.
We was expecting a march.
You expected a protest. You expected a march. Nah, I personally wasn't offended, but that's my own.
Real
view.
Quick, tell me why you weren't offended.
Well,
real
now you want to talk about it. Now you know he ain't gonna go crazy.
No, I'm not gonna go crazy. I'm not gonna go crazy.
You're so right, though. Go ahead, though, Will.
No, just specifically because I was more offended that he used the term blacks instead of African Americans. And his use of the word where he was just repeating what Colonel Sanders would say. Except, you know, and it wasn't his own thoughts. So that's why I wasn't necessarily offended by it.
I was like when a white person singing singing a song and they use the N word, you're not really offended by it, right?
Because
then, you know, they're just singing the song.
Going back to the whole Kendrick concert incident.
Kendrick concert.
He brought a fan on the stage, a Caucasian young lady, just to rap along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she rapped said, the N word lyric.
She said, yeah.
And he was like, "Nah, you can't do that. You gotta stop for that part."
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially kicked her off stage. Not really, but that's how it looked.
Yeah. He kicked her off.
I get it. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with. So here's a, how can I put it? It might not make sense to most people,
mm-hmm.
but to me, he was repeating something. Now, shit, he had used a word. Hell no. Am I necessarily offended in that frame of reference how he used the word? No. But there's a difference between someone rapping that song and using the word very overtly and in a manner to and being overexcited to use that word, use that term.
Here's why here's why people who are often involved in politics, specifically when it comes to race, are upset because of prior comments in reference to the national anthem. And now this, they're like, if it looks like a rat, it's a rat.
Yeah.
It's a racist, so to speak.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, true.
That's what people. That's why the general public, I think, is just gonna roll with.
Initially,
you know, what's your man named light skinned dude, the one that's always speaking out, Thomas, Michael something. What's his name again?
Michael Eric Dyson.
There we go.
Oh,
Dyson,
my man,
Thomas.
Yeah, Georgetown.
Yeah.
Teacher Georgetown.
Guys like him who are often D.L. Hughleys of the world, who often have a voice for black folks.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I think he's a racist based on just what he's shown. Again, he didn't mean anything by it, but he's taking the proper steps. I think he didn't step down from his own company. He basically has no control at this point. Still making good money though.
Oh yeah, I mean it's Papa John's. We used to go to Ray's apartment and eat.
That's Lito's, bro. That's Lito's.
No, the meatball pizza. That was not Lito's.
That was Lito's.
That wasn't Papa John's.
No, it was Lito's.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the cracker crust.
No, it wasn't a cracker crust.
Lito's.
This wasn't a cracker crust.
Oh, you're talking about the bacon pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
The bacon and that's the other apartment I used to live in. Yeah. You're going way back
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Lito's was the meatball pizza.
Was it? But you did have that Papa John's pizza with the big meatball in it, too. We're talking about some real stuff right now. Back to the All-Star
game. I digress.
Back to the All-Star game. So what do you think Bryce is going to do tonight? I mean, his home ballpark. Do you expect him to play? How many bats do you expect
I think he might. I'm expecting him to get two.
Okay.
Anything over to that, I think would be overuse. Overusage, overkill.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm assuming he's not going to really take this serious. What All-Star game is serious these days?
Oh, he'll take this serious.
I mean, this All-Star game. Yeah, I mean, some players will take it serious. Yeah, he'll take this serious. They stopped doing it.
They stopped that. Thank you.
There's no.
But last year's was serious. They played serious last year.
There's
too.
No.
I think the competitive juice. If it's close after like five or six after five innings, I think you'll see guys take
like,
it.
They don't want it to go back to like the World Series. You know, it impacts the World Series anymore. So they compete now. They compete more than they used to.
How do you think this could affect him mentally? If he's 1-for-3. A single. Is he going to feel good about himself going back into?
I think if he's 1-for-3, yes. I think it'll take all positive reinforcements will work for him.
I think no matter what happens as far as him as his plate appearances tonight, I think Bryce Harper feels like it's a win for him already because he participated and won in the home run derby at his home stadium.
He made people forget about Trout, put it that way, who they're always being compared at this point.
What you mean? Forget about Trout?
Yeah. Because if you watch the interviews leading up to the All-Star game, Trout was the one in front of the cameras. Yeah.
I thought the talk of the All-Star game was Bryce because it's in D.C. and also Machado because he's about to be traded. And reportedly he is trading.
He's from down the street, and the Orioles are so irrelevant right now. It hasn't been able to make front page news.
You know what he did right there? He knows exactly what he did. But I'm not going to go that route.
It's not subliminal. It's a very direct shot.
But it's like in all due respect, with the utmost disrespect.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Exactly. That's what it is.
The utmost disrespect. But no, Manny Machado reportedly is going to be traded to the Dodgers. Your thoughts on how that may strengthen the Dodgers? No.
I really don't have a whole lot of thoughts.
Ray, do you have any thoughts about that?
How it will strengthen the Dodgers?
Yes. If that is the truth. Or the Phillies.
Dodgers are emerging as a front runner, according to the reports, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. So it's not confirmed. Until it's confirmed.
I said reports. That's why I said reports.
Oh. Yeah. It wouldn't make a change for Dodgers.
At this point, I don't see it.
It's not
going to
make a big of an impact.
Say he goes to the Phillies.
Well, then Washington is up Ish Creek.
That's why I think the Nats should make a play for Machado. They should have made a play for Machado.
I mean, even though the Nats, they're what, 7 games back?
They're 5.5.
5.5?
Five and a half out.
5.5 out.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's still an opportunity for things start to click for him. But.
Yeah. And then you got Straws is starting Friday.
Don't win a division. Doesn't matter.
You know
just
what?
Get in
the wild card.
I
totally agree.
That's all that matters. Because
I totally agree.
These years of getting in with all these expectations, you fail. Let's try a different route. That's what happened with the Caps.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I mean, that,
always
that,
compare it with the Caps.
Seriously. Is a good way of looking at it. But also, we got to take into account each year they've won the division, they've kind of coasted the last part of the season
because
they've been so many games ahead. Maybe they got into a mentality of cruise control. Maybe if they have to fight all the way through the last game of the season, like Ray said, it can enhance their chances in the playoffs.
This is why Dave Martinez was brought in, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you got rid of Dusty Baker.
That's what I'm saying. So
his use of analytics, his ability to –
This is another topic for another show, but, you know, it's funny how, you know, Dusty, they let Dusty go. Look at what Dave Martinez is doing.
Dusty won 90-plus games 2 seasons in a row.
Who's at fault?
I didn't want Dusty to begin with. I thought – because this is a talented roster. Anybody can manage a roster to a playoff run or to a playoff spot, I should say. But I didn't think the change was necessary. If you were bringing Dave Martinez. I mean, apparently that's who the learners wanted before.
Yeah, because he's under Joe Madden. Everybody wants the next Joe Madden.
Yeah, they want the use of that. They want someone They want someone who used analytics because analytics is the high thing.
In all sports, which is ridiculous. But we're about to talk NBA Summer League after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I go hard in the paint. Yeah, you stank it. Yeah, what the thank it? I won't die, but it's the way. Broad yard, broad day. See, Gucci, that's my Gucci. I have Whatever. A couple of girlfriends. What? I'm fuck, yeah. Keep my dick hard and yeah. Give me some. You get bills free, shouting no joke. And what I stand for? Block brace for. I'ma die for this shouting, man. I swear to God. In the trap with some hood. Where you at? Where you trap?
You are listening to Urban Sports in Wally, Lil T, Ray. They also get no buzz.
Compared to when the NBA All Star Game was that's, at.
Well, oh, you talking about here? Yeah, I got
MCI
you.
MCI Center.
Yeah. Check out Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Also, hit us up on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports scene. Leave us a comment, and also rate us. I mentioned before the break about the NBA Summer League game showcased a lot of young talent. First off, are y'all fans of the NBA Summer League?
Yeah. So I mean, one is not a whole lot to watch now
on TV. On TV. I agree.
Unless it's Sunday night 8 p.m. Power.
You know it.
But
she fancied it and show enough.
No, but I'm not gonna say I watched every game religiously, but I have been keeping up with the summer league.
How about you, Ray? A little bit?
I do watch it. You know what? I don't like it.
You don't like? Oh yeah.
No.
I know you.
Listen to your last three summer league MVPs: Josh Hart this year, Lonzo Ball last year, Tyus Jones the year before that.
Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzman. They were co-MVPs, right? Yeah.
It doesn't matter. These are your past three Summer League MVPs.
Sometimes you just gotta take something when you just take it with a grain of salt. Like even what's his name killed in Summer League? Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell.
He killed Summer League and we saw what he did in the regular season. And no one thought of Donovan Mitchell going into the Summer League or into the season that he was gonna be like that dude. You just looked at him as a guy who can contribute, right? But yep. Not as the guy, right?
The guy. From an entertainment,
he built that confidence in somebody. You can say that
from an entertainment perspective. For those of us who are basketball fans, I think you like to watch any type of basketball.
Yeah, I do. I don't.
So I think it's cool. But as far as you know, am I reading too much into it? No. Yeah. But I mean, we could make cases for so many people.
Yeah, I agree.
But
Kwame Brown had a great summer league.
Kwame Brown had a great summer league. No, Jamal Crawford, an excellent summer league. And,
yeah, he did.
And he's Jamal Crawford, excellent basketball player. Mm-hmm. But guys like Marcus Fizer, who was a top five pick, he had a horrible summer league and he turned out to have a horrible career. Eddie Curry, Tyrus Thomas, I can go on and on about guys. Derek Favors, guys that had high expectations, you like in summer league, they look pedestrian. They are. They were. I don't know, man. Summer League is interesting. It really is because you got some guys still trying to break into the league. You know what I mean? Who are Vander Blue. How many years has he been trying to get a permanent roster spot?
But
don't kill that man.
It's not over. You're right. Because Jeremy Lin made it, right? You're right. You're totally correct.
To get back on topic, so to speak. To get back on topic, so to speak, this year's Summer League it was a lot of good storylines. You had Grayson Allen, up to Grayson Allen things.
Trey
Young was under a huge microscope, even though he didn't go number one.
Yeah, he was. And he struggled initially in summer league. Like, he struggled.
He had his ups and downs.
But his last couple games were promising.
He played his game.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Josh Hart. Like you said, he's
love MVP. Josh Hart. You know that.
I know.
We were just talking about that.
Like you said, we're all basketball fans. We watched Josh Hart, especially this season compared to last season. You see the growth in his game in terms of his confidence and him driving to the basket. You just see different elements. I guess when you look at some league, you want to see different elements or growth from players. You're not looking at, okay, you dropped 20. But how'd you drop 20?
Isn't it sad that Josh Hart has to prove himself, though? Remember when we were talking about the NBA draft last season?
Yeah.
And when the speculation that Markel was going to go number one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Josh Hart should be somewhere up there in the top 10. You're like, he can't be because he played all 4 years.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. And I'm like, dang, that's messed up. And now Lonzo Ball, who – he showed he's on another level as far as summer league goes, but he didn't have the greatest season. Obviously, he picked it up toward the end. He started to show some growth, but Josh Hart has always been consistent.
Yeah, arguably,
but Josh Hart has to play. He played 4 years of college,
and
he won a national championship. But the man played well last year off the bench. He earned his spot in the league, and yet he still has to prove himself.
That was a choice by him, though. He wanted to play summer league. He wanted to play summer league. So so he wanted to play. His thing was he wanted to play summer league, and he wanted to be summer league MVP.
But he had to prove himself, though, right? Right or wrong?
I think you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he had to prove himself, and people are now seeing Josh Hart. A lot of people are now talking about Josh Hart because of the efforts he's putting in summer league. He's now, in essence, to be real with you, in terms of all the LeBron trade rumors for
his don't want to be mentioning that no more.
No, he's actually mentioned because he's played so well. Now he's a bargaining chip because people are now looking at Josh Hart as a player. And if you want to look at, for real, to your point, Ray, arguably, Josh Hart was probably their best rookie last year in terms of overall basketball play.
Arguably, him and Kuzma, I guess.
Kuzma's a better scorer in terms of all around basketball.
I would totally agree.
Yeah. I think that on that Lakers team, Josh Hart, Mikhailu, the kid out of Kansas, is showing out. Like, you watch him, he's showing out. I like Sexton out of Cleveland.
I like the kid who was for the Lakers, who was like the number 47 pick.
Mikhailu, you're talking about. Yeah, from Kansas.
Sexton, again, you know I follow high school basketball.
Oh, my God.
Sexton, you know he was a grown man in high school.
Yeah.
It don't matter where he played at. He could play in the best AAU tournament. What is it? Nike?
Eyeball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. However you pronounce it. I mean, he was clearly one of the top players there, if not the best player there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, right now, to me, him in summer league, he's not proving anything. He's going to have a Kyrie type of, I think, career where he's going to get off to a slow start with a struggling franchise, but I think he'll get better every year.
Oh, Sexton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has it. When I'm just looking at him and looking at the way he plays, he got
it. Of course.
Like, he got it. Like, even surprising, the kid from Michigan State looked good. Not from who plays for Memphis.
Miles? Not Miles Bridges.
Shaq
Jr.
Yeah, Jalen Jones Jr.
No,
Jaren Jackson Jr.
You know what? It's all the kids of guys who weren't stars in the league. That's how
they get out. They both.
Brunson, Jaren Jackson.
See, Brunson is like, I thought he'd be better.
What?
I like Brunson.
You thought he'd be better in what?
In the summer league.
I don't know.
Because you get the opportunity. He's not going to get the kind of opportunity he wants in the regular season because they got the kid they drafted.
Nah, just based on his size, kind of what Trae Young's going through, I think you're going to have your learning curve no matter where you're playing, whether it's summer league or whether, you know, it's the regular season.
Have you seen – I actually like the kid from Chicago. I like the kid from Duke that's in Chicago. I think he's going to be better.
Wendell Carter Jr.
I think he's going to be better than
– I think he's going to be –
he's going to be better than what's
Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, he's going to be better than Bagley.
Mm.
I think it's gonna be better than the Bagley.
You see, you make a whole lot of like bold statements.
Yeah,
coming
that's my
from
prediction.
Somebody.
That's my prediction. No, because I liked him in the regulars. I liked him in college, and I just think his physical play.
You like Tyus Jones at Duke too, and you said he was.
Yeah, I was wrong about that, but people are wrong about a lot of things. But I like his body in terms of he gets his physical play and he's got touch. He can shoot from the outside. There's a lot that he can do compared to Bagley, because if you watch Bagley, he still has to be more finesse, and he's not the greatest perimeter shooter.
It's the potential.
Yeah.
Who has the higher potential with their size and athleticism? It's Bagley, and that's what NBA is looking for.
I think Carter has more potential than him
in terms of what he
won't get bullied. He can shoot from the outside, and he can post up, and he can pick and pop, and he can stretch the floor, and he can play, and he protects the rim.
It's all about fit too.
Yeah, that too. I totally agree. But Madden 19 player ratings are out. How did the Skins player do?
We'll discuss this one.
We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, I ride for my hips. And if anybody messes with Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'ma go. His people put his name on the wall, and everywhere I go, I got Mr. Magic Cap, because I know that boy don't care. He'll have that red stuff pouring out your hair. Bless any given time, bless anywhere. Make him bleed into my
You mess with me, it's a must. You die. Them haters might run, but them haters can't hide. It's a shoot yourself. It's a suicide exhale. Gotta be hitting hard like Bird Boys. Burning, know you know I'm as big hurt. Just like Soulja Slim, he'll put you in the dirt and have your picture on front of a t-shirt. And when I make moves, I got 100 soldiers with me, just in case the haters out there trying to hit me. All my players is down to squeeze the trigger. That's why I'm down for my no limit killer. Touch the money, hits, I'm down for my what? Touch the money, hits, I'm down for my what? Touch the money, hits, I ride for my die.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wiley here with Will T. Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Madden 19 players ratings are out. Here are a few of the ratings. I think Trent Williams is a 94. I'm trying to think of who else is out there.
Yeah, Jordan Williams is a 94 too. But can I give a quick shout out to somebody?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joakim Noah. Remember when he said nobody goes to vacation? Nobody goes to Cleveland for vacation.
Yeah.
Right? Who in the hell picks the Redskins on Madden?
Nobody. I don't play Madden. What's the last time you played Madden?
I don't.
You still play
if
Madden,
I did,
don't you?
Yes.
If I did, are you still beating up on
my man?
Nah, I haven't played him on there in a minute. I don't even play people online hardly.
You don't?
Yeah, I just.
Will T be having seasons? Would you play seasons?
Man, there's nothing wrong with playing seasons.
There's nothing wrong with playing
seasons. I used to play seasons all the time.
But no.
Turn the game on. Restart.
Your creative running back in the Pro Bowl. Will, did you make the Pro Bowl?
Hey, go ahead. I know you're going.
Nah, I don't create.
Grandma made me a tight end.
But no, it's actually getting kind of because they aren't innovating on the game. It's nothing new to the game. Uh-huh. It's like the same choppy animations and everything.
He needs
like
to kneel during the anthem. Maybe that'll. All
right, so here I'm gonna read some. All right, you said Jordan Reed's a 94, Trent Williams a 94, Brandon Scherff is a 94.
How the hell did Jordan Reed get a 94?
That's good. That's
based
a good question.
On ability.
No, it's a good question because he's always hurt. That's a good question. Yeah.
I think the ratings are based off last season, correct?
Yeah. You're right.
So how the hell did Jordan Reed?
No, I agree.
94?
Zach Brown, 88.
Best linebacker on the team.
Yes, 87. Ryan Kerrigan.
Mason Foster got a 74. I ain't even looking at the list. I already know.
Josh Norman, 87. DJ Swearinger, 87.
Josh Norman.
That's
what below.
Like I think DJ Swearinger is a good safety for the Washington Redskins because they had so many bad safeties in the past. But an 87 is pretty high.
EA Sports.
Right.
It's in the game.
I haven't played Madden in a while. Would somebody like DJ Swearingen be an 87?
I guess. I mean, really? He's a slightly above average.
If Josh Norman got an 87, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. He had a good season last year, though. But how does Jordan Reed get a 94 based on what he did last year and Swearingen get an 87? I guess maybe that's what you're saying.
I guess.
To some degree.
Totally agree.
I think the offensive line just got no love. Morgan Moses.
Was a 78.
And Sean Laval was like a
he's horrible.
Like
though.
A 70.
Sean Laval.
What did Alex Smith get?
84. You know what Kirk Cousins got?
What?
82.
Man.
Matt thinks somebody's better.
He smiled on that one. Boy, you should have seen
happy
that
about
that cryptic
that
face.
Happy about that
you went and researched that. Talking. How'd you know that?
Because I researched it.
play Matt.
Hey,
yeah, it is. Put that one on Twitter.
It's Matt. So do you think Madden is like factual in terms of how they analyze players, though?
No, man.
Are you close?
No.
They're not close?
No, because a lot of people would be lower than what they are.
For real?
In my opinion. Yes.
Lower?
Yes.
Sean Laval's a 70. You said what player? No, I think
I thought he was a 68.
He's a 70. I think Josh Dotson may be a 74.
Based on the ratings of the O-line, there's going to be no blocking next year.
Oh, Josh Dotson's a 78.
And I think
that's pretty high, though, for Josh Dotson. For a guy.
Oh, but Geis is like a 78. That's dirty. How you give a rookie who ain't played a down yet?
He is right. They got
a 78, and then that shows what they think about the secret.
Chris Thompson's an 84.
Chris Thompson's dope.
He should be higher than 84.
He's a weapon.
He should be higher than 84, though.
He was hurt.
He should
hurt.
No.
Shady McCoy is what? No, he's
that's
not.
That's the point. You're right. He's not really a – yeah, you're right.
He's a good third down back.
He's a good third down back and runs outside of the tackle. He doesn't have any
– And he catches out the backfield like Brian Westbrook almost.
McCoy? Like Brian Westbrook?
Yeah.
Hey. He ain't good like him. He is faster than Brian Westbrook, though. Do you think he's faster?
He might be.
You used to be a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Is he faster?
I think he's quicker.
He's quicker?
Yeah, he's quick.
That says a lot. I'm talking about Brian Westbrook.
He's quicker.
The fantasy genius that used to torch folks.
He sure did. So you have no belief system that like Madden is close in terms of the overall rating for like the NFL. Like Madden doesn't have a good algorithm.
You are really stretching this one, man. I'm interested to know how they come up with their ratings.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, but no, I really don't.
Here's how you can help us, Will.
What?
When you go home at some point between now and next Tuesday, simulate a game between the Vikings and the Redskins.
That's not even fair because the Vikings have everybody that's rated high.
And see who has a better game, Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith.
Because Minnesota's defense is better.
Go ahead, just simulate it, Will. Just simulate it.
Well, how about just training them on different?
Let us know what happens. We'll post it. And it's going to be dope.
Madden 19 hasn't come out yet, though.
It don't matter. You can put Kirk Cousins on Minnesota. Just like you can put me on Minnesota if you wanted to.
Oh, you're right. Put Kirk Cousins somewhere else. Yeah.
There you go.
Put him in Jacksonville.
Put him on Minnesota.
You're talking about the old version and put him on Minnesota?
Yeah, like just put him last year's. Put him on Minnesota and see who wins. Put Alex Smith on the Redskins and see who wins.
That's not this rating of Madden, though. You know
what
I mean?
It don't matter.
It does matter. I'm going off this rating of Madden.
But you don't even know what Kirk Cousins was rated last year.
I have no idea. I do my research on that one, brother.
That's my point. Simulate the game, Will.
I'll try to work that out.
All right, man.
Will ain't going to do it.
Time talk boxing anyway.
Make some egg.
It's Manny Pacquiao ready ready for another run. We'll discuss that after the break. To listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For agents.
You dig?
Deuces.
I ain't messing with you. Hey, you listening to the Urban Sports Scene? I'm Wally. Because the music came on by mistake. Listening to you guys, I was busy just laughing. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene?
You know,
Wally.
You on elliptical, Wally.
Will T and Ray.
He used to.
Hey, that elliptical thing is something else, man. Always like, what is this? I can't do an elliptical nowadays. Ray had me on the treadmill doing like 2 minutes or something. I thought I was gonna die.
It was an interval training. Wasn't bad. Will T do the same one? He just wants to get to
all
a
all I
want to
do is a quick little warm up, man. He try to kill me.
Nah, man. Older you get, the longer it takes you to warm up, man.
I ain't about that life.
Okay.
I just play basketball and almost die.
I can dig it.
On Saturday, Manny Pacquiao, TKO, Lucas Matisse in the seventh round to become the new WBA welterweight champion. Do you see the fight?
No, because it was on ESPN Plus.
I hate that crap. I saw it online today, but I hate. What is up with this ESPN Plus thing?
Well, it's an over the top. Service where it's five We look at, we talking about it and I'm giving all this information.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to know what the
hell. But no, it's like $5. It's an over-the-top service, $5.
Uh-huh.
So it's a supplement to a regular ESPN subscription.
I'm just saying that they I didn't mean to cut you off, bro. They've been promoting it a lot more lately, but it's been existing. Like WNBA games, uh-huh. they show on there. If sometimes your game isn't on locally, like the Terrapins men's basketball team has not been as good lately.
Uh-huh.
Their games come on ESPN Plus a lot. They've been trying more and more. The year one, the rookie thing for the NBA, they promote the heck out of that for ESPN Plus.
Wasn't
and then also Kobe's detail is on there.
Is it?
Where he breaks down? Yeah, where he breaks down.
It's
the footage.
So boring.
That is so.
Yeah,
so
it's that is. I think they need to do something more from a production standpoint to make it more exciting.
Oh, to McCobe's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
They're trying to keep up with the times that we are living in, where you know the Netflix era, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I mean media, digital media. Old media, legacy media has changed so much. But I was just going to say this. I think Bob Arum, I don't know the economics of it, right? Uh-huh. Of, you know, the contracts and the promotion from standpoint of how much Bob Arum is putting up and how much he needs to recoup from, you know, from revenue. But I will say this. If you're Bob Arum and you left HBO boxing, right, to go to ESPN. Now, I know he routinely puts on cards on, you know, boxing cards on ESPN. But if you're going to put your premier fighters on ESPN Plus only, you're kind of – I think you're losing out on the opportunity for a lot of – to really build up a fan base for a lot of the fighters, particularly if he's going to continue to put Lomachenko on and he's going to continue to put Terrence Crawford on there.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so you're taking eyes away. I don't know his rationale, but I would think that you left HBO boxing to go to ESPN because there are more eyes on ESPN for you to put it on ESPN Plus. You know, I know it's not a lot of, relatively speaking, not a lot of money, $5, you know, a month. That's just not something I'm going to invest $5 a month to see a card of top ranked card every 3 months. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. But I did see the fight, and I will say that Pacquiao. He looked fast. He looked quick. A new trainer.
Head trainer. Head trainer. Boo Boy is already. He's always been.
New head trainer. Yeah.
He's always been Freddie Roach number two when it comes to training Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, but he looked quicker. I think Matisse was the easy target. You know, he wasn't a guy that, you know, he was a guy who stayed in front of him. But I was definitely impressed with his quickness. And Pacquiao did say he wants to fight again. Next year. So I'm interested to see Manny Pacquiao. And then the word is that, you know, Lomachenko is a guy that he wants to see.
I mean, this is a classic Bob Arum play. You know, he puts a great fighter who seems to be kind of coming towards to the end of his path in boxing versus a young upstart who he wants to build a bigger fan base for and wants to get a big name. Not to say that Lomachenko hasn't fought some big fighters, you know, on his, you know, during his 12 fight career, but Manny Pacquiao will probably be the biggest from a popularity standpoint. So put him in there against Manny Pacquiao and, you know, see how it goes.
You wouldn't think it'd be competitive?
I think it would start out with fireworks, but then over time, Lomachenko probably would get the best of him.
See, I think the shield of Lomachenko, I mean, it's still great. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've always said that recently that Lomachenko is pound for pound maybe the best boxer. That's what Andre Ward not fighting. But I think due to what happened to him last fight, and I know it's petty, but he did get knocked down. I think Pacquiao could get him. Like, I think Pacquiao could get him because he's unorthodox. He can get him. From what I saw today, because I didn't watch it on Saturday.
Oh, you caught it online?
Yeah, I caught it online today. Okay. You know what I mean? I don't pay.
Oh, yeah, I definitely know that.
But you mentioned during the break about Anthony Joshua, his next opponent.
Yeah, Povetkin is going to be in
mandatory, right?
Yeah, mandatory. I think it's September 22nd, Wembley Stadium. So it was going to be sold out most likely. This will set the stage potentially for a fight because from my understanding, Eddie Hearn, Matchbox Promotion, who's a promoter for Anthony Joshua, has a 2-fight deal in place for him to fight September 22nd and April 13th of 2019 in Wembley Stadium, 2-fight agreement. So if Anthony Joshua gets past Alexander Povetkin, then next year we'll get the fight that everyone wants to see, the biggest fight, so that's a heavyweight fight.
Would that be a guarantee?
Because Anthony Joshua
is roasting. Wilder is roasting Anthony Joshua on social media.
It's all he say, she say. Uh-huh. But evidently, Deontay Wilder agreed to the $15 million flat fee contract that Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua wanted him to agree to. He agreed to it. Prior, you know, with enough time that he felt to make the fight for this year. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua decided to take another fight and then potentially have that fight down the road in 2019. I don't necessarily think that's the best thing to do. I think this fight is the fight that everyone, I'm not going to say everyone, but it's a large contingent of people who are non-boxing fans and boxing fans want to see that fight. It's a huge heavyweight fight, the biggest heavyweight fight involving an American heavyweight since Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson.
Yeah, we know everybody wants to see it. I mean, it would save the heavyweight division.
I mean, I don't think it would save. I think save is a stretch. I think it would definitely reinvigorate.
Yeah, I think that's the heavyweight
division. It'd be a fight that a lot of people. It could potentially be a pop culture event where you know you have. almost a million in pay-per-view.
Do you think he has a, I mean, you watch both boxes. Is this a dangerous fight for Joshua?
Not from my opinion. From my opinion, no. Uh-huh. Alexander Povetkin has had multiple PED pops. Uh-huh. He's older. I think he's 38 now versus Anthony Joshua being 28. So he, you know, if he were going to pull up a defeat against Anthony Joshua, most people, me included, think that it would have been two or three years ago. But I don't think he's the same fighter that he once was.
What's up with the cat that beat Klitschko? I forgot his name. He was like overweight, had drug issues.
Tyson Fury?
Yeah, Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury is a big guy, 6'9", has good skill. I wouldn't put Deontay Wilder in front of him if you have a potential Anthony Joshua fight next year. Okay. I wouldn't do it, but it would be a entertaining fight, and it's a fight that it's not a given that Deontay Wilder would win.
I mean, Anthony Joshua would win that fight, you mean?
What? No.
Wilder versus Fury, right?
You said Wilder versus Fury? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I wouldn't necessarily put him in front of Deontay Wilder right now when you potentially have that fight next year. But if Deontay Wilder were to fight Tyson Fury, I think he would have a good chance, and it would definitely give him more cred as being the best heavyweight boxer in the world.
I don't know. I only want to see Wilder and
Joshua.
That's it. If I'm not seeing that fight, then I'm not really fooling with the heavyweight division. I want to see Jared Hurd versus Jermall Charlo. Not Jermell, not the one that the louder one. I want to see him against the one that has a bit more power. Although I don't think that's going to happen. He's going to fight Jermell, right? Probably Jared Hurd.
Yeah, he's not going to fight him this year. Jared Hurd already said that he's coming off of fighting two lefties. So he said he wants to get in against an orthodox fighter his next fight, and then he will fight Charlo. But from my understanding, Jared Hurd just coming off of a shoulder surgery.
Yeah, so that's why he can't make it happen.
Yeah,
but
try to get that Bama on the show.
don't blow him up like that, man.
Errol Spence.
No, you heard me. I tried.
Yeah.
Errol Spence Crawford is another fight that many would like to see. It's not going to happen, though. Unfortunately, I don't know, man. Boxing is crazy.
Yeah, but we gotta go to break. We got CeCe on the line.
Oh, okay.
So we gotta go to break. So Serena Williams fell short at Wimbledon. We'll have CeCe Towns from gladiators.com to join us to discuss it after break. You listen to Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally, myself, Will T, and Ray. Will T, you hilarious, man. Real talk. Real, we do real things, but you hilarious. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us, leave us a comment. Right now, we have CC Towns from GladiatorHerds.com. What's going on, CC?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. Haven't had you on in a while. What you been up to?
Man, feels like a lot. Last week we had the second annual Gladiators Women in Sports Mixer, and that was amazing. It was legit sold out. Wow. We had some amazing panelists from the Hawks, from Turner Sports, from the Reyes Sports, from Atlanta Dream. Yeah, it was really great.
Oh, so did you watch Wimbledon, CC?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, you know, our girl Serena Williams, she lost in the finals to Angelique Kerber in straight sets. What were your thoughts on her not winning her eighth Wimbledon singles title?
I mean, my initial thought is it's amazing that she made it to the final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you consider, you know, where she was just earlier this year with her recovery, with from surgeries, from pregnancy, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, I was sad for her because I know that she, being the competitor that she is, she really wanted to win. But like, I'm proud of her. So if I'm just speaking about how I feel, I'm proud of her.
Cece, it's good to hear you on the show again. It's been a minute. Do you think Serena's conditioning just isn't there as of yet? I mean, to me, she still looks like she's trying to shed that baby weight, and she doesn't look like herself as far as how she moves on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I think she obviously has a little fear when it comes to more so being comfortable on the court. I think, you know, I play tennis, and a lot of people who don't play tennis don't realize you know, how mental the sport is. Like with a lot of individual sports, it's, I mean, obviously your conditioning comes into play, but it keeps it in enough shape, in good enough shape to have won the tournament. It's not her fitness. I think it's more her mind and getting her confidence back there and just getting her sure footing back. And that, yeah, that, so I think she will get in better shape because she's Serena and she's going to get in better shape. But I think that it's really mental for her right now.
Many critics said there were so many top seeds eliminated early, including Sharapova, which is part of the reason why they felt like she reached the final. Maybe the field is becoming more competitive. I don't know, but do you think that if there weren't so many upsets, we might have seen her go out earlier?
Yeah, I just think that's a ridiculous comparison to make. I mean, you could say that about any tournament, right? Yeah, well, yeah, Serena wouldn't beat it. Like, that's just, I think that's silly for people to make that analysis. You know, you don't discredit someone else's win or someone else's journey because other people lost. I don't think that has any bearing. I think that she played the draw that was given to her, a draw she had no control over. I mean, and so theoretically, she was in the same position to be ousted by an unseeded or a lesser-seeded person, just like all the top seeds were.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now, we have CC Towns from GladiatorHerds.com with us.
Yeah, speak to her longevity, though. The fact that she is beyond mid-30s now, almost.
She's like our age.
Well, she's 36, right?
Like 36. She's like, I mean,
yeah, she's 36.
I'm just saying, but CeCe, you play tennis. You know how grueling it is, especially being on that tour. And then as you identify, she came back from pregnancy, from surgery, and she had health issues in the past. But she still looks dominant. How much longer do you think she can go?
I don't know. I mean, I see her winning at least two more majors, honestly. And that's by, I just think, her sheer grit and finishing. One is that Serena still has mind control over a lot of people, right? So she's older, but there are still a lot of the people out there who have never beat her, and in their mind, it's still Serena. So I still think she could get another couple majors. Now, I don't know what that means years-wise, you know, but I think she probably give us a Wimbledon, another championship at Wimbledon.
So my last question to you is, does tennis need her? I mean, the Royals don't come out for just anybody. They come out for Andy Murray, you know, because he's from over there. But they came, the star power comes out. Drake was at Wimbledon a couple years back. Does tennis need her?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, like with any sport, right, you're going to have superstars. And when the superstars bow out, you know, there is sometimes a little gap or chasm, and people are waiting for the next superstar. So I think the fact that a definite superstar has been, all I could say, Sloan Stevens is the next American tennis superstar. I think there might be a little lag in when she retires, you know, unless of course she retires, you know, maybe in 5 years, and by that time Sloan, you know, really starts coming into her own and winning some more majors, you know, maybe it won't be as dramatic, the effect on viewership and participation. But I definitely think, yeah, she will be missed. The viewership is probably going to change. Might not get any other tennis stars mentioned in rap songs. You know, but that's with any special player, you know.
All right. That is so true. That is so true. Not mentioning the rap song. So from what you saw, would you say she's the favorite in the U.S. Open? That's the next. That's next grant.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to me as a tennis player, it was easier to make the transition from playing on grass to playing on the hard court, because, you know, the transition from clay to grass, if you guys don't know, it's like difficult because clay courts, they move very slowly. Uh-huh. Grass courts, the ball spins differently. It's a very fast game on grass. Well, what's in between those is the hard court, which is what most people recognize tennis for, is on the hard court. So I think that her transition will be a little easier when she's, you know, transitioning from grass to the hard court. Uh-huh. And so I do think that she always performs well, you know, on hard court. But I do think that I think she's going to do well in the U.S. Open. I mean, and she, I mean, I just, you know, that's her in front of home. Like, she's at home. Uh-huh. So the crowd is going to be behind her. She's had some really special times at the U.S. Open. So, yeah.
You know, I hope she doesn't win. I root for Serena. But before we let you go, CeCe, let the folks know, you know, what projects you're working on and how they can check out your content on GladiateHers.com.
Yeah, so GladiateHers is starting a mentorship program. I'm dropping a link for them. If you're on our newsletter, you've already gotten the link to sign up to be a mentor or be a mentee for women in sports. Uh-huh. We've got some other great events coming up later this year. And you can get in contact with me by, you know, checking out the blog gladiators.com or checking out my website, CeciliaTowns.com, and just watch out. Like, we're doing some really amazing things in sports.
Well, CeCe, thank you for being on. Hopefully we'll have you back on not too long, not way too long. We want you back as soon as possible.
Yeah, this was too long, y'all. This is too long.
It's been way too long. Appreciate the support. You always show us support, so I appreciate it.
We got a lot to talk about.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Check y'all, CeCe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, that is Miss CeCe Towns from GladiHeard.com.
Yeah, we got to talk some WNBA one of these days. Because they've had some big moments as of late, including our Washington Mystics, and it's just not, not talked about enough.
Yeah, we didn't talk
about it. Why are you guys so damn sexist? That's why. Why does CeCe only have to be on to talk about female sports?
I need you to say that. She doesn't have though, to.
But she's an advocate. That's what she does.
Yeah, exactly. She's an advocate, bro.
Are we going to bring Papa John to talk about black people? Hey. Or he going to talk about pizza?
On that note... Thank you all for listening to the show.
Ed, just to talk about the Caps, Will.
That would be dope. We should get people
to talk about getting out of their comfort zone.
Get them out of their comfort zone. I kind of like that. Talk about different things, man.
We shouldn't call that.
Not everybody can be Jalen Rose. Not everybody can be a transcendent star like that.
Anyway, you've been listening to Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And Mecca, lead us out, big homie.
Jew, call me.